Testing.
I'm testing.
We're testing.
I'm testing.
No, I am.
No, I am.
I'm testing.
Okay, well, fuck off.
It was a nightmare.
It's heaven on earth. The mountain looks so gorgeous in the morning. It looks like mountain is covered with gold. But because of global warming issues, snow is melting and you can mostly see black rocks instead of white snow. Another Google review. Well, with proudly I vocalized that it remaining... What?
What the fuck are you reading?
The Google reviews that it remain in our own country, so although it is big and risky deal for me, but very soon I'll be there to conclude this journey. Challenging creates more and more zeal on an individual to do it once in their life. One last review, 2 weeks ago. A very good place. I recommend this place for beginners. The snow there tastes awesome. There are 5 flavors: cherry, lime, squid, shrimp, and curry. They all taste awesome, and I recommend you taste the whole shrimp flavor. The mountain is a simple hike, and it has a great view of the whole wide world. Honestly, it would have been nice if the aliens didn't take my clothes.
Whoa!
Yeah, what am I talking about? Mount Everest.
Yes, today we're talking to you about Mount Everest.
But what's up, guys? What's going on with y'all first?
Yeah, what's the dealio?
What's poppin'?
What's poppin', Bimjo?
Oh, God.
What?
This week feels like it went by so slow.
Yeah, it really did.
And I hope next week doesn't drag. We have, like, half a week next week.
Sucked balls.
It sure did. Fuck.
We do have half a week. Oh, there's cops outside.
There's cops outside. What do they want? What are they here for?
They're here to get me for stealing the bread from...
The panaderia from Arandas. Yeah. I'm cry.
Also, no one has left us a bad review lately, so if you want to leave us any review.
A good review. Oh my gosh, shut up.
Yeah, if you want to leave us any review, that'd be sick.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to listen to us, that would also be sick.
Oh yeah, we would really appreciate that if you would come in here and sit down and listen to us talk.
Yeah, like, let's be fucking friends, bro.
Yeah.
Straight up. Also, today, I was listening...
I never replied, but I mean, I'm still down to be your friend.
Truly.
I don't even reply to Gren.
No, she sure doesn't. I have to be so sorry.
Oh, wow. You haven't replied to me. Oh, my bad.
I'm fucking dead. The only time she replies to me is when she wants something.
Sometimes I just want to send cute shit.
You never send cute shit.
Did I not send you that link to the bar?
What the fuck? That's not cute shit.
It is cute shit.
So anyway, I listened to the Men in Black episode today and I was laughing so hard with Dan asking if they wanted space oddities.
Oh yeah.
And you had like a voice and it was so fucking funny, I was crying.
Oh my god, I'm the 5 funniest comedians of this decade.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh wait, happy Thanksgiving? Because this is coming out that week. So happy Thanksgiving, because we won't see you until next. Fuck, you're right. This is after.
Yeah, it already passed.
Anyway, I went to Dan's Thanksgiving.
Did you?
Apparently I did.
Oh my god. Wow, did you though? Are you for real, for real? Oh my god. Oh my god, you're doing your roots for me?
I'm doing my roots for you.
For me and my family.
Yeah, I'm doing my roots. Not only my roots, but I'm going to go brighter.
Wow. Oh my god. You're going to make an impression on my family for sure.
They're going to be like, what is wrong with her?
I don't think my dad's met you. He hasn't, right?
Yeah, no, he has.
He has?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god, what the fuck? Dan Watson posted on his story. He's like, I think I got a pubic hair in my mouth.
What?
Who the fuck did that shit?
Hello? Who did that? Oh god.
I don't know if... Oh, wait, we haven't talked about it because we're recording 2 now.
Mm-hmm.
We went to see Enterprise Earth, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Your girl smashed. Dan smashed. I took a hit off of a jewel. But most importantly, I met the one and only small man in my heart, Dan Watson.
Yes.
And Dan was there. And Dan made him ooh-woo.
I was like, bro, your stage presence, A1. It's amazing. And he was like, oh my God. And I was like, wow. You can tell he was really taken aback by that compliment.
Yeah. Yeah. He probably did, like, a little, like, kawaii blush.
Yeah, he did. Oh, my God. Like, whoa. Oh, my God, look. Your hair's on my sock.
Wow. See it? Yeah, it sure is.
Wow. Cool.
I feel like if one of us died for whatever reason, we're going to have so much of each other's hair on our property that, like, they're going to be like,
oh, that seems kind of sus.
That seems sus. Why would her hair be there? Because I shed a lot. That's why.
It's like, why would her hair be in her underwear? Like, oh, God.
I took it home after that one night. I went to the restroom and happened to be there.
Woo. 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 Like, why was it in her shoe? Did she stomp her to death? Oh, my God.
I'm fucking dead. I deadass have, like, so many of Dan's hairs in my room.
Do you?
Yes.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Yes, yesterday. Last week, I think, there was one in my car, but, like, it was on my badge. And it was yours, because no one else has black hair.
Yeah. I'm crying.
And I was like, interesting.
Well, Edie has black hair.
Yeah, but it wasn't, like, long.
Oh, it was a short
one? It was a short little hair. A baby hair.
I haven't been in your... Oh, well, yeah, I have.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, you have.
I have since I cut my hair.
Yeah, you have. But anyway, let's get physical.
Physical. Physical. Hey, Google, put... Physical. No, just kidding. Shut up. No. No. Okay, good. She didn't turn
on. I got a Google Home Mini.
Mm-hmm.
And she's lit, bro. She's super lit.
I can't wait to get mine.
Oh, my God. If you had Spotify, I don't know if they're still doing the thing, but if you pay for it, you get, like, a free mini.
Yeah.
Okay. Bro, she's sick.
Yeah. All right. Let's start off with some Mount Everest fun facts.
Go ahead.
Let me go back to my notes. I exited out. Okay, first of all, you would think climbing up a mountain would be free. It's not, actually.
You have to pay?
Yeah, you have to pay.
To go on Mount Everest?
Yeah. Okay, hold on.
Here. Wait, should we preface why we're covering Mount Everest?
Oh, I have notes for that as well.
Let's start with that.
Okay, first. So, Mount Everest...
is a mountain.
Is a mountain located in Asia. It is...
It's in Asia?
Yeah, isn't it?
I thought it was in the U.S.
No, it's not.
What?
Oh, my God.
Are you lying to me?
No, I'm not. Oh, my God. Wait, now I don't even fucking know the... What? No, it's in Asia.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. It's not in Mount Everest. It is located in Mahalangur, Himal.
Then why is it called Mount Everest?
It's a sub-range of the Himalayas because...
Where's the Himalayas? I dead-ass thought that was here.
Mm-mm. The international border between Nepal and China runs across its summit point. Taken from Google. Yeah, it's in Asia, bro.
What?
Yeah.
This whole time, I thought it was in the U.S., like in Nevada fucking... or something.
What? Bro! I don't know. Oh my God, the Rocky Mountains are here, and the Smoky Mountains, but not Mount Everest. I want to go climb the Smoky Mountains. It looks really pretty over there.
I want to go hiking.
In North Carolina? We should do that next year.
I'd be down for that.
Would you?
I would, actually.
Whoa, okay.
Because I'm adventurous now.
Yes, let's do it in the spring when the weather's nice.
That'd be really nice.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We'll see where our vacation time's at.
Great.
Okay. So, like I said, it's in China. A total... I got different numbers. How many people did you get that died there? I got... In one article, it said 295. In another, it said, over 300.
I have from 2018, mm-hmm. 250. That are known.
Oh, that's also probably a thing.
Yeah, so no one really knows exactly mm-hmm. how many there are truly.
Yes, yes. It says, or the 295, it said that that was the amount of people that died on both sides of the mountain since 1924. Mount Everest is 8,848 meters, which is 29,029 feet. And it's the world's largest mountain, and a particularly, did I say that right? Particularly?
You said a particular.
Yeah, it slurred so bad. A particularly desirable peak for mountaineers.
Right, right.
Yes, yes. So, not only does it hold the title of the world's largest mountain, it also can claim the title of the world's largest open-air graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
So many deaths occur here, because of avalanches when people, like, fall, because they don't have, like, the right equipment, exposure, like, frostbite and just lack of oxygen.
Right.
There's an area known as the Death Zone.
Yeah.
That it holds, like, the most, like, high body count, because you can't be that high up without oxygen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your body starts to, like, shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Also, can I mention real quick that 2018 had the most ascents into the Death Zone?
Wow.
And also the first double amputee had a successful climb.
Nice. Nice, nice.
That's now illegal.
What?
For amputees
to go up there?
It's illegal now.
Oh, illegal.
Illegal.
What?
He was the first one to make it successfully, and then they banned it. They're like, nah, that's not safe.
What? Mm-hmm. Wow. You can't let people fucking live out here?
No, bro, not in Asia. Bro.
Wow. Okay. Well, so above 26,000 feet, that's where, like, the human body slowly starts to die, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it becomes a race against the clock for the people to be able to make it up to the summit and then back before you run out of, like oxygen.
Right.
You usually only have, like, about 48 hours in the Death Zone. So, in, like, 2 days, you have to clear the trek up to the peak, and then
go right back down.
Go right back down. Back to the prices. Here are some price ranges that it costs to actually, like, climb the mountain.
Tell us.
So, before you even think about going and climbing the mountain, training to climb the mountain can cost you roughly upwards to $8,000.
Jesus.
So, like, you train, like, by climbing other mountains. This one article says that this guy, he started his training in Mumbai, and it wasn't that difficult or costly to do that, but, I mean, 8,000, I mean, hello.
That's still a lot.
Mm-hmm, that's a lot. And then there are, like, boot camps that can, like, train you for it. That costs about $7,000 with this particular one. So, like, and that included climbing, like, three peaks in Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
My mom once sponsored a child in Nepal.
Oh, did she? Wow.
Yeah, and I hated her because I was like, why are you taking my mom away?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and my mom was like, she's calm not down. Here. And I was like, no, stop sending her money.
Oh my God, you're terrible. Poor little kid. Okay. So, and then you also have to invest in personal gear.
Yeah.
So, that can cost about $25,000 to $75,000 and even $100,000 per person.
Good Lord. That's a Range Rover.
Yeah. Depending on the factors that you want, such as desired comforts, the amount of bottled oxygen, Sherpas, and stuff like that.
Sherpas are the little Sherpas. People that guide you, by the way.
Mm-hmm. So, this guy spent $48,500 for the climb with this company called Peak Freaks. It says, quote, the typical cost when climbing the Everest with the Western Agency is about $45,000 and above. With a local Nepali operator, it can be between $25,000 to $40,000.
Wow.
And that includes the royalty fee of $11,000 to make it to the peak. So apparently, like, if you plan on making it to the very peak of the mountain, you have to pay $11,000.
God damn it.
Like,
so, like, they're just charging you up the ass for everything.
Yeah. Yeah, like, your dead body's gonna litter the fucking mountain. You better pay $11,000, I guess.
I'm dead.
So most agencies, it says, they conduct Sherpa supported climbs, which is smart because it's nearly impossible to climb the mountain without them. In this author's book, Sumati Nagarath, in her book Incredible Ascents to Everest, it touches upon the role of Sherpas and their remarkable physiology that enables them to be more resilient to altitude sickness than other extreme heights. Honestly, if you and I climbed the Everest, we wouldn't even make it halfway. Right at fucking sea level. I've lived here my whole fucking life. And, like, I get, like, I feel like I get sick when I go anywhere, like,
when I went to California, I think I got sick because it is, isn't it, like, higher?
A little bit, yeah, depending where you go, yeah.
Yeah, because I was, it felt weird.
Like, going, like, anywhere, like, here in Texas, even, like, San Antonio.
Austin, especially, because that's much higher up.
San Marcos, when we went to Lake Travis, the first couple of hours, you do start to feel like, ugh, what is this?
That's why I couldn't get drunk.
Yeah. okay, yes. So, it says that the Nepal government earns about $3.25 million dollars as royalty fees from climbers every season.
Oh, goddamn.
And the season lasts you from about... Where is it?
Tell us.
Somewhere here. It's, it's from March to around the first week of June. So that's a lot of money for, like, just a couple of months.
Yeah, that is.
So it's basically just a spring that you can climb. You can only climb it in the spring. You can't even climb it in the summer. What the fuck? That's crazy. That's brazy.
That's brazy.
Okay. Like I said, it charges $11,000 per person for climbing the 8,000 meter peak. Nepal's economy is actually largely built on Everest expeditions, but the Sherpas who actually guide the hikers, they actually are not that well off. They don't earn that much money. These Sherpas only earn about $3,500 to $5,000
per
climb, like, however many people they take up there.
That's not bad, but also you could die.
They're, like, risking their lives.
Yeah.
And then when you consider, like, how, like, stressful that situation is, like, you know, that doesn't seem like a lot when people are paying, like, $48,000 to, like, go fucking up a mountain. Like, they're not paying them a lot.
Yeah.
But that amount of money is supposed to last them all year. Is a thing. Like, up until the season starts back up again.
Really?
Well, yeah, because they can't, like, guide other people from June to next March.
Right.
Yeah. So, the most experienced Sherpas, they can earn up to about $8,000 per climb. This money doesn't really, like, compensate, like, you know, for the risk. Death? Yeah, like, for the risk that they're taking. Taking some white boy up a mountain, I mean, it's not really that much.
Taking Jake up a mountain.
Yeah, exactly. When Westerner guides, on the other hand, can earn up to, like, $20,000.
Well, so what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck, bro?
Racism. Oof. Anyway, there was a tragedy in April of 2014. There was, like, an avalanche and, like, 16 Sherpas, I believe, I want to say. Hold on.
Holy, 16?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, April 2014, 16 Sherpas died in an avalanche at 19,000 feet in April. Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
And right after the season had begun, too.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's so scary. Why do people do that?
Mm-hmm. Risk takers, you know? The Nepal government now... the government and the Nepal Mountaineering Association, or NMA... NMA are now taking a closer look at their compensation levels and are in the process of creating a basket fund. It says, quote, the fund is being created for the support of surviving family members, relief and rescue funds for each incident that may occur in the future. Madhusudan Borlakodi, joint secretary Ministry of Culture and Tourism in Nepal. Also says, quote, the government has also decided to increase the life insurance cover for a Sherpa to 15 lakh Nepali rupees. So about $15,500 from 5 rupees. And they want to also provide health insurance cover for 4 lakh Nepali rupees. I'm not sure how much that is, but...
it's something.
I hope it's... yes, I hope it's sufficient. So, with that being said...
are we talking about the tragedies?
We're going to talk about tragedies.
Ooh.
I think I'll leave this one for last, but I'll start off with this one.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to, like, switch on and off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I didn't want to talk about this because I thought Karen was going to talk about it, but she didn't, and she broke it to me.
Today,
and I was like, what the fuck, bro? But, this first one is called Green Boots.
That's a nickname.
It's a nickname, guys. So, when I was reading up on it, it was like, he is a landmark in the mountain. And I was like, what? That's fucking crazy. So, climbers taking the North Col route to the Everest summit, which you have to pay $11,000 for.
Yes.
Inevitably end up passing the mountain's most famous landmark, or infamous landmark, Green Boots. So, this is a frozen body of a fallen climber who's called this because of his bright green boots that he has been wearing since he died.
Mm-hmm.
So while Green Boots' identity has always been contested, it is widely believed to be Indian climber Sewan Paljor, I think. Paljor?
Mm-hmm.
Paljor was part of a high-class Indian expedition to the summit that yielded only one survivor, actually.
Damn.
A man named Harbhajan Singh. Singh recalled that the expedition was marred by mistakes, and he had urged the other men to abandon their quest to the summit due to inclement weather that was heading in. So Singh suspects that the guys succumbed to summit fever, which is a term used when climbers like, fuck it, we're almost there, and, like, just, like, head, like, in, like, head first.
Yeah.
So...
I'm looking at pictures of these bodies.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
So, it says, some become blinded by their drive to cross the finish line above all else.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be overconfident, Singh insisted. Listen to me. Please come down. The sun is going to set. And so, that's what he told the guys. And while... the men were like, fuck it, let's go. Ah, YOLO.
I'm fucking dead.
They're like, YOLO. And so they went anyway. And they actually did reach the summit. But then they encountered the terrible blizzard of 1996 on their way back down. So they had zero visibility in a fury of wind and snow, and Paljor and his two comrades were lost to the brutality of the mountains.
Oh, shit.
Over time, Paljor simply became known as Green Boots and has become a permanent fixture on the North Col Passage. For 2 decades, climbers have used Green Boots as a trail marker, basically, to gauge how far you are from...
That's fucked up.
Yeah, to gauge how far you are, or how far they had to go before they could go up the summit.
Right.
Yeah. So, as of 2014, Green Boots was dropped, it says. I don't know what that means. I think people, like, purposely drop bodies to, like, clear the way, I think. I don't know. I saw that in a couple of other cases.
What?
Yeah, but it says that Green Boots was finally dropped to a lower location over the side of the mountain where he joined the bodies of other fallen climbers that had been cleared off of the main route. So
interesting. Mm-hmm.
But he was, like, in, like, a cave, kind of.
Yeah. In the pictures, I'll have those up on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does look like he's in a cave of some sort.
Yeah, he's in a cave and he's facing, he's facing towards the mountain. Yeah. Okay, next.
Oh, yes. Me? Yes, mm-hmm. Next. We're going to be talking about the first woman to ever...
climb Everest? Reach the summit.
First female to make the climb up to the summit.
Oh, nice, nice.
She was a German lady. Her name was Hannelore Schmatz.
Mm-hmm.
She was going... down the Southeast Ridge route with her husband. So, yes, they're going up the East Side Ridge where mm-hmm. she perished at 27,200 feet.
Oh, damn.
At some point during the night, they were like, we have to stop. We're tired. We have mm-hmm. to do something. The Sherpa was like, look, we can't stop. If we stop, we're gonna fucking die. But they're like, I can't go on.
Because they're still in the death zone.
Yeah, they're still in the death mm-hmm. zone. And they, I guess later that night, both the Sherpa and Hannelore,
mm-hmm.
were both like freaking out. But they decided, they're like, all right, let's go ahead and go down. So they're mm-hmm. continuing their descent. And she sat down, like, on the way down,
mm-hmm.
like Ryan Cabrera. She sat down and she was, like, telling her Sherpa, like, water. She wanted water. Mm-hmm. And then she died.
Whoa.
One of the Sherpas actually stayed with her body. Mm-hmm. And as a result, he lost his toes and fingers.
Oh, wow.
Her body was there for a while where she died on the mountain. Mm-hmm. But then it disappeared under the snow. For years, you could see her remains by anyone who was trying to climb the summit. Her body actually froze in a sitting position, and a lot of people thought she just, it was like a person taking a break.
Whoa.
But really, she was deceased.
Yeah, damn.
Because she was, like, leaning on her backpack, her eyes were still open, and she, like, her hair would, like, blow in the wind.
Oh, wow.
And she just looked like she was alive, but
yeah,
she was actually dead.
I feel like that's so, like, morbid. You're climbing up the mountain, and there's just, like, a bunch of dead bodies all around you.
It says, in 1981, another expedition went up mm-hmm. and one of the climbers said that he passed her body, but he initially thought it was a tent.
Oh, damn. Okay.
And he was like, when they got closer to it, he said she still had her watch and he could see that. And they were like, what?
Oh my God.
There was a police inspector and a Sherpa that actually fell to their deaths while trying to recover her body, but they died.
Oh, damn. Just
trying to bring her down.
Hmm, interesting. I also read that, like, retrieving bodies is very expensive. Like,
very.
Upwards to, like, about $80,000.
Difficult, too.
Very difficult and like, risky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quote here from someone that, from the first Scandinavian woman to reach the peak. She says,
mm-hmm.
a woman with her eyes wide open and her hair waving in each gust of wind. It's the corpse of Hannelore Schmatz, the wife of the leader of a 1979 German expedition.
Mm-hmm.
She submitted but died descending. Yet it feels as if she follows me with her eyes as I pass by. Her presence reminds me that we are here on the conditions of the mountain. And then the wind eventually blew her away.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and she
fucked up.
I thought, who was... There was someone that was...
got blown away, too?
No, no, no. They were literally permanently frozen to the mountain.
Oh, shit.
They're a part of the mountain now. I don't remember which one it was.
Oh, damn.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, she blew away. No one knows where she is.
Oh, damn.
Next.
Next, okay. Maybe it's this guy. So, I have David Sharp's death. His was actually very... Like, it was a hot topic issue
mm-hmm.
when they discovered his body. So, in 2006, when I was a sixth grader, he was an experienced climber, and he froze to death near the summit of Mount Everest.
Who is this?
David Sharp.
Oh, David Sharp. Okay.
So, with nearly 1 out of 10 climbers that die at the top of the mountain on average... Like, I mean, frozen corpses, like I said, it's, like, morbid. You're surrounded by them.
Right.
But, like, David's death was, like, like I said, it was a hot issue.
Right.
People were,
the
like...
The hot goss.
The hot goss. People were really pressed about it. So, he was a British mountaineer, and he made his third trip up to the top of Mount Everest without aid of... oxygen, radios, Sherpas, or teammates. So, I mean, this guy's like...
Fuck it.
Fuck it. YOLO. Like, he's already done this trip before, like, multiple times now at this point.
Right. Damn, how much money do you have?
A lot, I guess. So, his first two attempts were aborted due to perilous conditions, including ravaging frostbite that took several of his toes.
Ew.
He climbed the mountain up again without toes? Damn.
That's dedication, yeah. Bro.
Okay, he successfully submitted Everest on the third try, and during his descent, stopped to rest inside Green Boots' cave, which is why I even had to cover him in the first place.
Right.
So, like, literally just feet away from Green Boots himself.
Yes.
The man, myth, the legend. So, he was disoriented and suffering from exhaustion. Sharp drew his legs into his chest and rested his head upon his knees, and he actually never woke up.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, however, it says that David Sharp did not die right away. Over 40 different climbers passed him on the mountain and noted that he was still alive but in distress. So, outrage poured in from around the world at the knowledge that Sharp was left moaning and murmuring to climbers who refused to abandon their quest to the top in order to help them.
Yeah.
So, Sir Edmund Hillary, who was the first person ever to successfully summit Mount Everest, spoke out against Mark Inglis and his team for allegedly seeing Sharp's distress and continuing on towards the top.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "The whole attitude towards climbing Mount Everest has become rather horrifying," he said. Human life is far more important than just getting to the top of a mountain. So, the unwritten code among climbers is to abandon their quests in order to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
On Everest, though, many believe that the standard code does not apply due to the difficulties involving in climbing the tallest mountain on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Many argue that it's, like, it's every man for himself out there.
Yeah.
And that Everest has become, like, a moral gray area. And that this modern mentality has pushed the climbing world into, like, a civil war. With Sharp's death only further highlighting the issues. So, Inglis and his team, the guy who we were talking about earlier, they said that Sharp was completely frostbitten, incoherent, and beyond saving when they found him. So they thought, why help him out if he's already going to die if we take him to the bottom?
Yeah.
When we can make the summit.
Right.
So claims have been made that many did try to help him, but seeing that he was too far gone, left him and continued their journey. Others stated that immobile Sharp, you know, because he wasn't moving anymore, was mistaken for Green Boots and overlooked. Many cry out that Sharp was left on purpose, becoming another victim of climber greed and summit fever.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. And then this quote from this article says, "The sad truth is that it's too hard to save yourself on Everest, let alone rescue someone else."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yikes. Also, I didn't know skin bleached in the sun.
What?
Skin bleaches in the sun.
What do you mean? Whoa, what is that? Is that a back?
Yeah, it's someone's back, some other body.
What?
And this is...
I'm assuming because it's so cold,
well, too. Not only that, but, like, he's been there for, like, how long? Like, probably decades. But that's you're... David Sharp.
And he's just still there?
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. That's
crazy.
Wow. Okay. Well.
Next.
Okay.
I've got... This one's really sad. Mm-hmm. It is about Frances Arsentive. Mm-hmm. She was the first American woman to reach the summit of Mount Everest without oxygen.
Oh, okay.
On May 22nd, 1998.
Okay.
Basically, she had attempted to make the climb a few times before with her husband, and when they decided to make this final trip is when they finally made it. Because they didn't have any oxygen, her and her husband, Sergey, made their way slowly because of it. So they're like, all right, we have to pace ourselves because we don't have any oxygen. We ain't got shit.
Yeah.
And because of this, obviously, it slowed them down, and... When they got to the top, it was already, like, sundown.
Oh, no.
So, they're like, we have to set up camp in the death zone.
Oh, God.
So, they set up their camp. They did their thing. Sometime throughout the night, I'm assuming. I'm not sure if it was during the night or the next day.
Mm-hmm.
They were separated. And Sergey made it down to base camp. And when he realized that Frances wasn't there... He made his way right back up with oxygen and medicine because mm-hmm. he was like, well, where the fuck is she?
Yeah.
So that morning of the 23rd, another group of climbers found Frances on the ground. And they're like, okay, well, let's help her. So they carried her down as far as they could, but they also began running out of, like, oxygen mm-hmm. and stuff. So they left her there and continued their climb. As they were making their climb, they ran into Sergey, who was still looking for mm-hmm. her. And that was the last time that he was seen alive.
Oof.
The morning of the 24th, another group of climbers found her again. And they actually, like, they saw her and they knew she was not going to make it.
Yeah.
So instead of leaving her, they actually sat with her to make sure she wasn't alone in her, like, final moments. Damn. And... Because the weather conditions had gotten pretty bad throughout that day, they were actually forced to abandon her, and she, like, died there. Like, she was on her side by herself, died.
That's sad.
And because of this, she was actually nicknamed Sleeping Beauty.
Mm.
People were also confused as to where Sergey could have gone,
mm-hmm.
since no one ever found his body, allegedly. But... turns out that another climber the following year found him on another part of the body, like, mm-hmm. Of the mountain. I'm sorry. It seemed as though he had taken a fall while trying to rescue his wife, because apparently when she died, she was holding on to, like, I don't know if it was, like, a hook or, like, a rope thing, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was holding on to that, and then, like, he had fallen trying to get to her, so I don't know if maybe he did get to her, but he fell.
Maybe.
Her body actually remained there for years until a climber that passed her when she was still alive, they went back and actually relocated her body. So she wouldn't be in the way because people would, like,
step over her.
Okay. So he went and moved her and put her out of sight.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That was sad.
Wow, that was sad.
That makes me very sad.
So here, I have something to brighten it up.
Yeah.
So this man is named Maurice Wilson. His story is pretty, unbelievable. He was a British soldier, pilot, and mystic, and mountaineer.
Mystic?
Mystic. I'm not sure what that means.
Well, hold on. Wait. Mystic. Definition. Mystic.
Mystic. Like magical, I'm assuming. I don't know what that means.
What is a mystic person?
Mysterious? Maybe.
Okay, I don't care anymore.
Okay. So, in 1934, that's when he died. Anyway, my bad. The end. So, Wilson was. very much a man of God.
Yes.
He lived by the word of God.
A God-fearing man.
Yes, a God-fearing man. Wilson was a fierce proponent of using one's faith to solve the world's problems.
Oh, okay.
And he was inspired by George Mallory, who was allegedly the first person to climb, but we don't know because he died.
Oh, interesting.
Allegedly he's the first person to climb, to make it to the summit, but we're not sure because he died up there and his body wasn't found until like years later, decades later.
Really?
Yeah. But he was inspired by Mallory's expedition.
Right.
And so he believed that by using prayer and his faith alone, he could succeed where Mallory had failed. He said,
"The Titanic can't sink."
Yes, he said the Titanic can't sink. I'll do it better than Mallory did, and said that he was going to reach the summit and come back down alive.
Oof. Okay.
Mind you, he's never climbed a mountain in his life.
That's us trying to climb a mountain. The power of anime, God and anime on our side.
Yeah. So Wilson's plan was to fly a plane to the upper slopes of the Everest and then hike up to the summit. So he's kind of cheating. This plan was abandoned when authorities refused to allow him to fly near Everest.
Oh, damn. So he got denied.
So, yeah, they were like, no, I don't think so. You still got to pay the
$11,000. I'm dead.
But despite being a poor pilot and having only used minor hikes around the foothills near his home for, like, his training to climb Mount Everest.
Right.
The tallest mountain in the world.
Yes.
So, you know, that aside, that he was a poor pilot and didn't train properly, he flew into India and approached the Romba Glacier. Romba Glacier.
Right.
And he showed up with no climbing equipment, and he was like, oh shit, this is kind of hard.
I'm dead.
When he started scaling at the ice walls, and he found it impossible.
I like how you said that. It. Ice walls.
Ice walls. Okay. His inexperience as a mountaineer showed when he stumbled upon crampons, it says, which is a standard equipment for ice climbing. He found it at an abandoned camp and left them behind.
Wow.
So, like, he showed up without climbing equipment, stumbled onto the climbing equipment, and didn't pick it up because he didn't even know what the fuck that was.
I'm dead.
Okay, so he was constantly losing his bearings and having to retrace his steps in the fucking, you know, amongst the snow and the wind.
Right.
And so Wilson finally retreated back to the Rombuk Monastery with a twisted ankle. He was snowblind and suffering from exhaustion.
Snowblind?
Snowblind, yeah, because if you look at the snow for too long, it's, like, white.
Yeah.
So you eventually, like, you can't fucking see shit. Yeah, it fucks up your eyes.
Wow.
After several more treks, marred by bad weather, no climbing equipment, and his lack of experience within a mountain environment, Sherpas named Tewant and Rinsing urged him to return back to the camp. But Wilson was like, no, I have Jesus on my side.
I'm fucking dead.
So he did not return from his last attempt, and they left the mountain. The Sherpas left the mountain. They're like, all right, well, he says he has Jesus on him, so I guess we'll leave him with Jesus. Yeah. So they left the mountain and went and reported his death.
I'm fucking
like, hey, there's a guy up there who says he's got Jesus on his corner. Mark him as dead.
Oh, God. I love that.
So when did I say climbed? Oh, 1934. So, a year later, 1935, covered in snow, surrounded by pieces of his windblown tent, he was finally found.
Wow.
Yes. So, many details of his expedition come from his diary that was found, like, in a little, like, backpack or whatever the fuck, near his corpse.
His fanny pack?
Mm-hmm. His fanny pack. Yeah, there you go. But He thought he could do it.
He fucking died.
And he fucking died.
The man that said the Titanic couldn't sink. It fucking sank.
Oh, yeah. It sure did.
That's horrible.
Oh, God.
He was bold.
He was bold. He was pretty bold thinking that he could climb a fucking mountain.
You thought?
I mean, also, it's like back in the day. I wonder if maybe just that information wasn't there. It's like a mountain. Like, but people back then, they, you know, if you didn't grow up near a mountain, yeah, how do you know what a mountain is? Like, you think, well, that can't be that hard to climb just like up a thing. Honestly.
Up a thing.
Up a thing. Yeah. Like, honestly, one time, when me, my mountain climbing experience.
Yes, of course.
We were in, like, my dad's hometown, and there's, like, this really big hill, like, in the town. And we were going to go visit his great aunt, uh-huh, or his aunt. I don't remember. And they're like, are you sure you're going to be able to climb? I was like, fuck yeah, I can. It's a fucking hill. Like, what? Yeah. And so, like, I'm climbing it. And I'm, like, suddenly my legs start to wobble. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, because it was such a steep climb. I was like, what the fuck? And then going down was the worst. Like, I thought I was going to fall. It hurt so bad. And then the next day I couldn't walk.
I'm dead.
It was so bad.
You were paralyzed.
I was. But, I mean, I climbed it.
Miley Cyrus said,
with God,
it's always
an enemy on my
gonna
side.
Gonna be another mountain.
Yeah. And I'm always going to want to make it move.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's always an uphill battle.
Yeah.
I don't know either. Yeah. I'm dead. But anywho, that's the spooky times of Mount Everest.
I mean, is it really spooky or just a little sad?
It's a little sad. It's a little spooky.
But it's a little inspirational, too. Like, I mean,
it's like you can do anything you set your mind to.
Like, if you
want to die, go to the mountain.
Yeah. But if you are able to climb Mount Everest, what the fuck can't you do then?
Dead ass.
Like, dead ass, you can do, if you can master the tallest mountain in the world and reach the summit, literally nothing will seem impossible to you after that.
Fast.
You know? Like, what? Oh my God.
What?
That's why God, no, just kidding.
I'm fucking dead.
I was gonna say something. Woo! Oh my God, I'm sad. I'm probably never gonna be able to climb the mountain.
Honestly, same.
Same. I'm brushing my hair, guys.
She sure is. It's tangled, too, because I hear it.
No, it's not.
You can just hear it. Anywho.
It's a little tangled.
We're going to go now.
Okay.
We hope you enjoy this episode of your favorite one-star podcast, Kills and Chills.
I love our one-star podcast.
Yeah. Suggestions, questions, comments, concerns, we don't care. But if you do, there's Instagram. You know where to find us.
Also, Michelle, stop listening to this. You are not of age to listen to
it. Michelle, you are an artiste. Don't listen to her.
You are an artiste. So go master your craft before you listen to this podcast.
I mean, this warning should have been at the beginning, not the end.
Yeah, it should have. Put it at the beginning.
All right, we'll see.
Okay.
Okay, anyway.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.